Welcome back to the show. It's a big show in the morning. We're getting into hour number three. Boy, texts are coming in hot and heavy. How about this? 91% of people don't care about the CFL. Feels like an arbitrary number, but whatever. Thanks for the hour recap on the Stamps game today. Hopefully you can do it again tomorrow for those who shut the radio off. That was very nice. But for all of you who are just can't listen to us talk about this, just can't do it. It's just... How about this? PTO, Sonny Milano for the Calgary Flames. There you go.
We got hockey content.
Hockey content. Elliot Friedman tweeting out moments ago that he's hearing that former Ducks and Blue Jackets forward Sonny Milano signing a professional tryout with the Calgary Flames.
14 goals, 20 assists last season in 66 games.
The recipient of the Dishigan, as many people would know him. Of course, the goal that Trevor Zegras set up last season where he did the old Michigan behind the net, but instead of scooping it in himself, he kind of little loft pass over the net, and Milano batted it in, and off they went. I don't know where he fits in on a Flames team, per se, but...
He's a left winger.
He's got offensive upside. Do you put him in... Do you see, like, a third-line role where he could play alongside a Backlund and a Dylan Dubé? And you could hope for a little bit more of an offensive pop there. But... Is it a line that you are comfortable going out and doing all the checking work for you as well? I don't know. I'm interested to see what the fans think about this one. And let us know, 960-960, Sonny Milano signing a PTO with the Calgary Flames. He, Cody Eakin, and Michael Stone come into camp as the three on PTOs. But Milano is interesting because he is one of the guys that, for a long time, throughout the course of the offseason, as it dragged on and Evan Rodriguez wasn't signed, and Sonny Milano wasn't signed. It was like, okay, these guys are probably going to end up going for similar price points, one-year deals, those type of things. Here we are now. Rodriguez is signed. He's now with the Colorado Avalanche, gets a one-year, $1.3 million deal, and Milano doing something a little bit different. PTO coming to Calgary. So I don't know. We'll see how it works out. I will say, you know, it creates a little bit of a battle for guys like Jacob Pelche, even for Dylan Dubé, Kevin Rooney. What's your role going to be on the team?
Cody Eakins too. I think you got to include him in that.
The Flames held like their golf tournament with just like the players and stuff over the weekend in Banff. How about a power move from Cody Eakin on a PTO? Golfing in sandals. My goodness.
Were they golf sandals?
No. What? I don't think that's a thing. They were like straight up dad sandals. Like one strap over the top of your feet. You can see it on the Flames Twitter. They threw up a whole bunch of pictures of the guys, and one of them has Cody Eakin. He's got his dad sandals on, and you can look every other picture. All the guys got golf shoes, the whole nine yards. But if you go to the Flames Twitter... It's a bit of a power move. I don't know. Feels like a power move to me.
Golf Town does sell several different types of golf sandals, just so we're all clear that that wasn't something that I
really
made up.
Well, I wonder if they're golf sandals then. But still, that feels like a... I don't know. I feel like I want more support around my feet.
Dogs out at the golf course. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Nope. Not for me. But for Cody Eakin,
May I ask? Obviously, I mean, Pelletier is the one who I think a lot of people are sort of interested in whether he does have a role coming out of training camp or whether they're going to send him to the Wranglers for a little while. But does, in your mind, does this Sonny Milano news impact that?
Impact which, sorry?
Pelletier's chances?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does impact your chances for sure. But Peltier is a pretty responsible player for being someone young. Like when I watched him in the AHL playoffs last year a little bit and just kind of seeing him even in the Young Stars. He's a guy who kills penalties and is very comfortable doing it. He's a guy who takes care of his own end. He's not the biggest guy, but he's pretty tenacious when it comes to kind of puck pursuit and those types of things. Like, the motor's always going. So, like, yes, it impacts his chances. There's an older guy with more NHL experience that's now in on the team. But I don't know. I thought Peltier was going to have a hard time making this group as it is. And Milano joining the fold does not make it easier. But I do wonder, like, you know, the decision is going to be Brad and Daryl's, and mostly Brad, I think, in the end, and when it really comes down to it. But then it's Daryl, and how does he want to use him? And does he feel like the player can be effective in this system? Is the player going to buy into this system? Maybe. But I'm not sure. I always felt like Rodriguez was the better fit. It was like at that point when it was like, oh, here's still Phil Kessel and Sonny Milano and Evan Rodriguez. I was like, Rodriguez, way more than the other two. Phil Kessel, because the memes would have been fun and all that type of stuff. But like for actually like winning a championship, Rodriguez was one. And I don't know. I just wonder about Milano. You know, I've heard Zegers talk about him. He's a big beach boy. Loves his beach down there in Orange County down by Anaheim.
He might like Sandy Beach.
Yeah, you think that's going to be a good sell? You ever been down to Hot Girl Beach, Sonny Milano?
Sandy Beach.
It's a lot of rocks, and you know, you can throw a rock across the river if you want. How about that? Take a little raft, go for a little float. Obviously not in season, right? But sure. So, I don't know. It's one of those things that he's signed. Sure, it's a PTO. We'll see how the fit is. I don't.
You seem skeptical.
I am skeptical. I don't know if he's the player that's going to be it. He feels like, and this is going to be a really bad thing to say, but he feels like a player who usually plays on teams that are on the outside looking in. He's an exciting player, but I don't know. Is he a winning player? Hard to say. It's been very early on his career.
He's only 26.
He's only played in Columbus and Anaheim. He hasn't really been in a position with a very strong team around him. It's a little bit different here, but yeah, I don't know. I am skeptical. I'd like to see Peltier get a shot.
I think a lot of people would.
I just feel like, you know, there were some other ideas that were out there perhaps, but this is what it is.
I mean, we've talked about this before, but with Peltier, I mean, I think whether or not he gets a shot straight out of training camp, I think everyone expects him to, you know, get called up at some point.
We'll hit some texts here really quickly before we hit the break. Jamie Thomas coming up to talk about the Jets in a second. This one says, I love Milano PTO for the Flames. I think Dubé will take a step forward. You can see he was starting to find his role near the end of last season. I think Milano, I like Milano. It just doesn't fill the right shot hole, but I will take this if he signs. Kadri, Milano, and Toffoli as an offensive second line, Backman, Coleman, Dubé as the shutdown third line, which would leave Huberto, Mangiapane, and Lindholm as your top unit. I don't hate that, but I'm skeptical of on Milano. So I need to see him in camp in some preseason games, I guess. He's still got Cody Eakin going back to the sandals. He's still got nothing on Cronner out there barefoot stuffing bald dogs down his gullet. It's true. Brent Cron golfs barefoot.
That seems absurd to me.
Yeah, it's like when you see like a guy in the major leagues and he's batting without batting gloves. You're like, this guy is unhinged. That's the same vibe, except it's more like, it's less mountain man and just like straight unhinged, you know? Does that make sense? Probably not.
I mean, I follow.
Golf sandals are a thing. They come with spikes. Not sure if those did, though.
Good. I'm glad that I'm not alone on my golf sandal island. You acted like what I said was insane when I said there's such a thing as golf sandals.
I like to have a lot of support and golf sandals feel like they wouldn't have a lot of support. Where's Brett Ritchie? I don't know if he's signed a PTO yet, but I know that there had been talk he might sign one in Edmonton. And then this is my big one. I wonder why no team has ever been like, hey man, let's keep you. Right?
With Sonny Milano?
Yeah. There's a lot of teams that probably could have had him for less. Or probably could have had him at, you know, if they wanted him.
No, worse, he's an extra body at camp, right?
When does training camp start? Well, their first preseason game is coming up this weekend. They got split squads on Sunday, home and home with the Vancouver Canucks. Training camp should start very soon. I believe it's sometime this week. I don't know the date off the top of my head, but I'll get it for you. We'll find out tomorrow. We do have to take a break. Jamie Thomas is coming up. Some interesting stuff with the Winnipeg Jets. You know, we do get a lot of texts about the captain here with Calgary. And the Flames don't have one right now. Didn't have one last year. And last year, I honestly didn't have any issue with it. I thought the season played out fine. There was never a problem where you were like, oh my goodness, who's the captain? This is a travesty. Well, how are they going to get through this? That was never an issue. Now, granted, when someone is your captain for a long time, and then you're not even in training camp, and the new head coach is going, yeah, I don't think so. I wonder if something's up. We'll talk to Jamie Thomas about that coming around the corner. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. A, we have Cavalry FC tickets to give away.
Boom.
We'll do that just before what you want to talk about. Brody's come up with an excellent, excellent trivia question. And the tickets are for this weekend's game against Atletico Ottawa. Top table in the CPL on the line. So you're going to want to make sure you're dialed in. But before that, we go down to Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to talk to Jamie Thomas, Winnipeg Jets radio color analyst. Good day, Jamie. How are you doing? Thanks for taking some time.
I'm good. It's a beautiful day here in Penticton, BC, so I would be an ungrateful person if I didn't say I was good.
Well, that feels like a brag because my co-host sitting across from me was supposed to go on a hike at 9:15 and has just pulled shoot because we've got rain and dreary weather here. So
very jealous,
it's ugly,
man.
Here.
Very
it's
jealous.
Ugly.
Yeah,
the lake is hideous. Yeah, there's nothing nice here. Sorry.
Yeah, locusts and all that type of stuff. Yeah,
I bet. Apocalypse is coming.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
How's Penticton been, man? You've been calling some of these games. How's it been going for the Jets so far?
They're 0-2, but I think you guys know and everyone's smart enough to realize the wins and losses really aren't important at a tournament like this. So the Jets are, you know, it's nice enough to see three of the Jets' last four first-round picks, Cole Perfetti, Brad Labbert, and, of course, Chaz Lucius are at this tournament for the team. And you know, for Cole Perfetti, it's an important tournament because he was injured last year, hasn't played a lot, and is going to be counted on heavily for the Jets this season, likely in the top six role, right? So he needed these games under his belt, and he's dominated at times, and then other times he looks like a guy that hasn't played in a while, right? And a lot of guys feel the same way. So Brad Labbert has been as advertised. The Jets felt he was the best skater in the 2022 draft, and he's showing off his speed quite a bit here at this tournament so far, and has an underrated shot and has looked quite comfortable. Chaz Lucius waiting for a little bit more, right? He hasn't shown much here early, but it's all about getting comfortable with your, you know, one day some of these guys you're going to play with. And so maybe Chaz Lucius is looking to prove a little bit more when they take on the Flames today, or 11 o'clock this morning.
When you think about kind of the defensemen, because you just mentioned, those are some top-tier prospects in the forwards ranks for the Winnipeg Jets. Perfetti, Lucius, Labbert, like these are all top of the draft type guys. What about the blue line? Is it as deep? Is there as many blue chippers out there?
So the Jets are pretty deep right now. Like you're wondering who's going to be the sixth and seventh defenseman as they enter into camp. But you know, Dmytro Kuzmin was a high draft pick. You know, still likely going back to the Ontario Hockey League this year. Simon Lundmark played a full season in the American Hockey League last year. He will play for the Moose. Maybe there's an outside chance that he plays for the Jets this year, depending on injuries and the like that. But he's looked pretty comfortable too. And, you know, I spoke with him the other day about, you know, like everything else, right? You guys have talked to guys coming over from Europe and the adjustment that they had. And he did a great job last season forcing the coaching staff to keep him in the lineup. So much so that Mark Morrison and company went to 11 forwards and 7 defensemen just because he was making it impossible for them to take him out of the lineup that they would go with 7 defensemen too. So he's got to take a big step here this year as well. You know, Simon Kubacek played a long time with the Edmonton Oil Kings in the Western Hockey League. Mm-hmm. Big open ice hitter. You know, there's a chance he gets a shot at the Moose this year. And Tyrell Bauer, a kid from Cochrane, Alberta, 6th-round pick, big kid, captained the Seattle Thunderbirds to the Western Hockey League final this past year. Fell short against the Edmonton Oil Kings in 6 games, but he played his first game yesterday and looked pretty good out there, but was working through an upper body injury as well too. So, you know, the pipeline's pretty deep on the blue line. Ville Heinola's sitting there, you know, Logan Stanley, Dylan Sandberger are all kind of fighting over that 6th and 7th defense spot. So it's kind of a logjam right now for these kids on the blue line in the Winnipeg Jets organization, but you never know how things turn out. But overall, great tournament so far. And, you know, the most important thing is they're getting these games underneath their belts.
And my last one on the Young Stars tournament, because there was a couple of things that came out with the Big Glove roster over the weekend as well I'd like to touch on. But you look at the goaltending, Connor Hellebuck's the guy right now. David Riddick's going to back him up. He'll get his, you know, 15-ish games, and it'll be another 65 for Hellebuck most likely. But are there any goaltenders at this tournament that you're looking at for maybe a few years down the road? The Jets aren't a team who's gone and used high draft capital to bring in another young goaltender recently.
Right, yeah. And like Arvid Holm is a guy that's been here. He started the first game, right? And he played last season for the Manitoba Moose, got up to a great start, and then just had an unfortunate weekend playing actually the Abbotsford Heat, right? It was the travel was tough for the Moose at that time. As you guys know, the American Hockey League schedule and the travel isn't exactly the easiest thing to do. So kind of had a tough stretch there. And it said to me yesterday that, you know, there were points last year where he's like, oh man, why did I decide to be a goaltender? But he's got a great sense of humor as well. He looked very good in his first game. And then Oskari Salmon is a goaltender they signed in the spring, and they found him in the Finnish Elite League. And he led the league in wins and saves. Clearly was very busy last year. And another big kid, 6'4", might play a big role for the Manitoba Moose this season. So, but still, you know, David Riddick and Connor Hellebuck still has 2 years left in his contract. There's kind of a logjam there, and Dominic DeVincentis is going to start today for Winnipeg. They got him in the 7th round of the 2022 NHL draft in Montreal, and he'll get a good look today. But in the meantime, it's Riddick and Hellebuck, and likely, you know, outside of injury, there's not a chance that a lot of these guys anybody in the American Hockey League are going to step in that role. But it's good to see Arvid Holm and Oskari Salminen. That was his first start yesterday in North America, so an important start for him yesterday.
Jamie Thomas, the radio color analyst for the Winnipeg Jets, joining us here on the Big Show in the morning. Later on today, noon Calgary time, it's going to be the Jets and the Flames prospects going at it, wrapping up their tournament. Both these teams 0-2, although for what it's worth, it's one of those tournaments. Some news with the big club, though, Jamie. Over the weekend, it was announced that Blake Wheeler is no longer the captain of the Winnipeg Jets. New head coach Rick Bowness has come in, and he's made his decisions, and I guess my initial question is just, what was your level of surprise upon hearing that there's going to be a change to the leadership group, just going to go with a strong group of alternates or assistant captains for the upcoming season?
Right. When you first hear it, it's quite surprising. But then when you hear the conversation from Rick Bowness and Blake Wheeler, you kind of understand. Like, eventually the Jets are going to have a new captain. And Blake Wheeler is such a strong voice and such a just a big presence in that dressing room. I kind of get it. I understand that you have a pretty veteran dressing room. But when we, 17, 18, 18, 19, 19, 20, it was an extremely young hockey team. Now you have Brendan Dillon in there. You have Nate Schmidt, Josh Morris, who's older. Adam Lowry is in there. Nikolai Ehlers is a big-time veteran. I can understand, you know, Mark Scheifele, of course. You can understand where the Jets are going with this, because you're trying to open things up and you're trying to see who your next captain's going to be. And you're going to give more people opportunities and more voices. I think that only helps. And Wheeler admitted that this, you know, being a captain is a weighed heavily on his shoulders. He's a proud person intense person. I think this frees him up. I think with the room opening up this season, Blake Wheeler talks every day before the game, so that he's not going to have to do that as much because there's going to be more voices. Wick Bone has talked about, you know, when things are going, you know, after a loss, there has to be more people talking within the leadership group. So I get it, and I still believe Blake Wheeler is a point per game player, and this is just going to free him up a little bit more just to focus on his on ice stuff. And of course, he said he's always going to have a voice. He's always going to be there to help guide people. So I think it was just a benefit for the Jets to see who's going to be comfortable stepping in a more leadership type role, and maybe who's not so much, even with those opportunities. So I think it's a win-win for everybody, new coaching staff, new fresh start for everybody. And after the way things went last year, why not? You got to try something else and see how this works out. And I think it's going to work out for everybody.
On that sort of topic, obviously last year was disappointing. And I think there were people who from afar expected, you know, a lot of movement that maybe didn't happen. But I do look at this at this group. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of players I really like here. You know, what is the expectation? Is it to be sort of back in the playoffs and to get there? I mean, is it really just as simple as certain guys playing better?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, you know, Mark Scheifele got COVID early, and he said it took him till Christmas time to get his legs back. And then he got hurt in April. So, you know, he's got to be better. Clearly, Neil Pionk was injured for a big chunk of last year. He admitted he's got to look in the mirror. He's got to have a better year. Yeah, Brandon Dillon and Nate Schmidt are going to have another, you know, more comfortable within the system, even though it's a newer one, obviously, with the new head coach. They're going to be more comfortable this year. Connor Hellebuck has got to get back to where we all expect him to be. I've said this 100 times. He was not terrible last year, but he just wasn't Connor Hellebuck. So I think you have that recipe there for a lot of guys that knew they have to be better and that are proud players and have said so over and over again. Plus, you have another year together of Pierre-Luc Dubois and Kyle Connor. The unfortunate part about last year and the Jets underachieving, it overshadowed an incredibly brilliant season from Kyle Connor. Clearly one day 50 goals is in his future, and probably for a good stretch here, he'll probably have multiple 50 goal years. Pierre-Luc Dubois went down to Michigan to skate and work out with Kyle Connor. So clearly they're trying to work on that chemistry a little bit more. Cole Perfetti's got a big year in front of him, right? They've signed Sam Gagner. He fits into a top eight role. So Adam Lowry, and then you got a full year of Mason Appleton because Appleton goes to the Seattle Kraken in the expansion draft. And the Jets had high hopes for him. He was on his way to, he said he felt completely comfortable, wanted to be a Winnipeg Jet. Now he's back full, and he's on right side of, I believe, Adam Lowry to start camp. So there's just a lot of guys there that want to be better this season and just has a recipe for a step in the right direction. And as Kevin Cheveldayoff said, after they made the trades last year for Brendan Dillon and Nate Schmidt, everybody's telling them they're a Stanley Cup contender. It's the same guys. And I'm leaving out Nikolai Ehlers, two guys. He would have probably had 30 goals, maybe even 40 last year if he wasn't hurt. So there's a lot there where you can look at what Calgary did last year, just underachieved the year before, got some solid goaltending, and look how that all changes. You play better defense. Still a pretty good team here, guys, and I think it's going to be a fascinating race in the Western Conference this season, including the Winnipeg Jets.
I was going to draw that parallel a little bit with Calgary last year.
It's hard not to.
Yeah. Just and he then spoke about, you know, the more defensive approach. We got to know sort of Rick Bowness a little bit here just because he was coaching the Stars in round one. Delightful man, got to say. A lot of time for him. But what do you expect sort of his calling card to be a little bit as head coach of this team?
Well, they have to play better defensively. Like, Wheeler said at the end of last year, every shift they were looking to score a goal. And we all know how that ends up, right? That just doesn't work. You're going to be a better defensive team first and foremost, and then worry about that other stuff afterwards. There are plenty of guys up front that can score. So if they play better in their own end, there's going to be a much better result for this team night after night. So I think Rick Bowness is known for his defensive structure. They're going to be a better penalty killing team. How can you not get better if you play better in your own end? That's just flat out. They understand that will be the first thing in camp. That's probably going to be hammered to their head. Defense first, worry about that other stuff later. Help your goaltender out. I just think we're going to see, we've seen his Rick Bowness, what he's done and how he's turned around teams. I just don't know how he doesn't turn around this one. It's not a miracle mixture here, right? It's not how that's going to work, but I just believe that message will be sent in right away. and they'll be a much better defensive team, and thus the wins will come a little bit more frequently than they did last year.
You on the call today, Jamie, with Brendan Parker? Is that the plan?
I sure am. Yeah, yeah. BP is calling the show, so I'm looking forward to it. Jack Michaels offered me the chance to call the Oilers-Jets game, but, man, I've sat beside and listened to so many play-by-play guys over the year. I can't do it justice. It is, to me, the hardest job in this business outside of the post-game show host after a loss. So it is, I respect it too much, and so I'm looking forward to working with BP in the booth today.
Yeah, I'm... You got to talk so fast, and my brain only works so quick. The play-by-play, that's a tough gig.
Yeah, I forget where I am half the time. Yep. So it's just like, hey, look what that fan's doing. Oh, they score. That would be me all the time. So
we'll have fun doing it.
You're a color guy. You have time to think. So
exactly. You got so much time to get that one good thought out, practice your sentence. Yep. Boom, you're in and you're out. Feel good
about
myself.
Sound like a genius.
There you go.
Sound like a genius.
We'll be listening to you sounding like a genius all afternoon, man. Enjoy it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
There you go. Jamie Thomas, always appreciate the chats as well. Radio color analyst for the Winnipeg Jets. And down in lovely Penticton, where locusts today. Wild. It's too bad.
It's better than the 7 degrees in rain.
I didn't bring an umbrella. I did not bring an umbrella. Shoot.
I would have worn different shoes if I'd known this was what was coming.
Your hike got canceled, though, hey? Pulling the plug?
You know... I sent a screenshot to my friend Cammy. We're supposed to go out to Sentinel Pass just outside of Banff. The screenshot was just seven.
You even dropped the location. That's how I know you're not going.
Yeah, I mean, we had literally talked. And I was like, I'm not going to say where I'm going. And then I checked the weather. It's too cold. I'm tough in a lot of ways, I'm sure.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, I'm very tough. But I'm not tough with being cold and wet. So not going to do the hike. We're going to go for coffee?
Well, here's this. I got one text for you before we get into what you want to talk about. Danny, my family and I hiked Mount Yamneska yesterday, and it was fantastic. 2.5-hour hike up, 1,750 feet of elevation. Payoff of views are awesome. Highly recommend. How many times have you done it?
To be honest, 3 weeks ago, did Yamneska with Cammie as well. Nice. And that is an unbelievable hike, man. Like, there's a reason why... Well, that's one of the famous ones. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable the whole way. It's got lots of changes in terrain, changes in your viewpoints. It's absolutely beautiful.
What's your favorite hike?
I'm not really supposed to talk about this.
This is what we were also talking about off the air, though. This is your opportunity here.
I quite like Galatea in the winter when I'm doing my snowshoes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there are several in Kananaskis that I'm not going to say the names of while we're doing this right now, because part of the fun is that people don't know about them.
Oh, you're trying to keep it all on the down low. Yeah, okay.
I will say this. If you ever get the chance to do Pickle Jar Lakes.
Pickle Jar Lakes?
Pickle Jar Lakes. It's down in Kananaskis. It is absolutely beautiful. It's not too hard, but you do go up quite a bit. You don't summit, but you arrive, and there are four absolutely stunning lakes, particularly if you can make it sort of late June or early July. You can go for a swim. Beautiful up there.
The name comes from the fact that, at least in past years, fishing for trout is as easy as pulling pickles from a jar. This area is a fly fisherman's dream. The lakes are full of cutthroat trout. Keep in mind, grizzlies also like fish and are regularly seen in this area.
Is that really why it's called Pickle Jar Lakes? Because getting trout is as easy as getting pickles from a jar?
Listen, I threw it in Google and read the first thing that came up. So, yeah, obviously it's true. Duh.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And you also know that that's probably Danny's actually like fourth or fifth best hike. Oh, it's also right beside Vlasic Lake. There's got to be a little bit of a, you know, Vlasic with the pickles. They got the big, what is it, a stork?
What are you talking about?
The guy for Vlasic Pickles?
I didn't know Vlasic was a pickle company.
When was the last time you had cable and, like, experienced commercials? Like a decade?
It's been 10 years.
Yeah. Okay, that checks out. I also don't know if the Vlasic Pickles guy has been on TV in quite some time, but I digress. You know how we'll find out? We'll get into what you want to talk about. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The hunting season gun safe sale is on now. Save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. So what you want? What you want to talk about? Firing your texts, and as well, I wanted to give away a prize here. How about this? We mentioned it off the top of the segment. We got some Cavalry FC tickets to give away for this weekend's game. Cavalry FC is taking on Atletico Ottawa Saturday, September 24th. 3:30 is the time for kickoff. This is a big game. This is the top two teams in the CPL. Three games left in the regular season. A lot on the line, and we're giving you two tickets to the match, one parking pass, one $20 food voucher, a scarf, and access to the VIP mess hall. Does that sound like an awesome time or what?
Get it done, man. That sounds amazing. Big game.
Very big game. So here's the deal. Alex Brody's come with an excellent trivia question. Cavalry FC has a brotherly duo of Charlie and Mason Trafford. Who's the older brother? 960-960. Send it in, and in mere moments, I will announce a winner. But until then, we're reading your texts and just riffing on whatever it is that you need to hear about. This one is a doozy. My favorite hike is from my couch to my fridge and back again. This one says, who doesn't hate a good hike? these are my people. I do not like hiking. I love the views and all the type of wonderful scenery and the picture ops and all that, but I hate going up a hill.
I mean, I understand that. It does get better the more you do it, but I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy on the radio. What I will say is, I've been co-hosting a radio show with you as well as doing my full-time job. I have one day off this week. It's nice to get out. It's nice to see something different.
This is going back to the previous co-host. What are Danny's thoughts on the NBA's Toronto Maple Leafs chances and also flip-flops at the gym? That person's been listening for a few weeks. You don't have to go into...
If you want to unpack that one for me, I will.
There was a guy, Nick Alberga, was hosting with us, and Nick would come on every
likes
day.
Likes the gym, I'm told.
And yell about guys that wore flip-flops at the gym. He wasn't a fan. Actually, Nick has started to text me about this all the time. The guy is a bit of a rival for Mr. Alberga in his life. And he also is he's a Toronto boy. So now the NBA's Toronto Maple Leafs, that might be going over my head.
I mean, if he's asking about the Raptors,
or that might just be a callback to when you called the Phillies a football team earlier on in the day,
or when you called the Broncos the Browns,
or when I called the Broncos the Browns. Yeah. This one says Danny needs to stop predicting Big Stamps wins at home.
He's not wrong. I've gotten I think I've gotten 80% or 91% since shout out that guy. I've gotten a lot of things wrong this year, guys. I'm getting out of the prediction game.
Pickle Jar Lake is nestled between Bick's Stream and Strub's Pond. Nice.
I will say that I used Bing, because it's the default browser on this computer, to find the top-selling pickle brands, and couldn't find that information. Just a lot of separate people doing, here are the 10 best pickles.
A whole lot of, BuzzFeed lists.
Websites I've never
heard
of.
The top 10 pickles you have to crunch in your mouth.
Yeah. There's a BuzzFeed one. Best store-bought pickles ranked.
There is a BuzzFeed one. Come on. I like to Google things with Bing. We did it again. This one says, where's Will? Will had a career change. And I think he's doing quite well. He actually texted me on the weekend. And thank you for reminding me, because I never texted him back. Sorry, Will. I'll text you later. Hiking, it's just so pedestrian. That'll pretty much do it for the show today. Earlier,
a high note to go out on.
Earlier, the text line, the question for the Cavalry tickets, which Trafford brother is the oldest one? And we have our winner coming in at 960-960. This from Phil. He says, the older brother is the one that was born first. Congratulations. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to give this guy a prize. But the correct answer was Mason and Esther. You are our winner. Congratulations. Our promo team will be in touch. You get to go to the game on Saturday. Cavalry, Atletico Ottawa. It's going to be a ton of fun. Danny, have a great day, man. Enjoy your hike.
I'm not going hiking.
Then enjoy your, I don't know, gloomy Monday, I guess. Sorry. Jeez.
Just reading about pickles over here.
Yeah, we got to get out of here. Sportsnet 960, The Van.